This is VoiceAmerica.com, America's voice.
Welcome to Age Management Medicine in the 21st Century with Dr. Harvey S. Bartnoff. All comments, views, and opinions expressed on this show are solely those of the host, guests, and callers. Now helping you with age management in the 21st century, here is Dr. Harvey S. Bartnoff.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Age Management Medicine in the 21st Century. This is your host, Dr. Harvey S. Bartnoff, Physician Director of California Longevity and Vitality Medical Institute. Today's topic is female libido. If low, should it be treated? My guest is Dr. Jennifer Berman, and we'll introduce our guest in just a moment. But first, for all the women out there, how many of you have had sexual dissatisfaction currently or in the past? Dissatisfaction that might include decreased sexual desire or decreased libido, or that might include decreased arousal, might include painful sex, or even problems with orgasm. And for all the rest of the listeners, including the men, how many of you have a female sex partner with sexual dissatisfaction or a lack of interest in sex? And how many of you know that sexual dissatisfaction in women may be a sign of a medical or psychological problem? We'll address these issues and more, as well as their treatments, as we discuss female libido. For first-time listeners, let's mention a little background of the program. This program is an informal series of discussions, questions, and answers about how to manage the aging process medically and successfully. We've chosen topics that we felt would be interesting, but that's where you, the audience, comes in. We want you to participate actively by calling in with questions, comments, or opinions to the toll-free number. That's 1-888-335-5204. That's 1-888-335-5204 to ask a question to our guest or to myself. Remember that no question is too silly or too stupid. The only way to get an answer or to learn is to ask the question, and it's very likely that others have the same question that you're thinking but might feel a little uncomfortable calling in. But that's okay. We're here to help and to provide honest answers without hype in a comfortable atmosphere. Before we jump into female libido, let's take just a minute to explain what age management medicine is. This area of specialization is all about improving health span, improving quality of life, and delaying disease. It incorporates the established practice of preventive medicine along with balanced hormone replacement using only bioidentical or natural hormones, and nutrition, supplements, lifestyle changes, and integrative medicine when appropriate. For more information, please go to my website, www.longevitymd.net. Well, let's give an introduction to female sexual dissatisfaction. It referred to as female sexual dysfunction. This is actually quite common. In a study that was published in the Journal of the American Medical Association in 1999, 43% of American women reported some problem with sexual dissatisfaction or sexual dysfunction. The range was about 30 to 50% in different populations. If we look at women who are in menopause or later, 88% of them will report some sexual dissatisfaction. So this is a problem that increases with age and is unfortunately progressive unless there's some type of treatment that is intervened. In terms of sexual dissatisfaction amongst women, this can include a whole array of different things. It can include a decrease in sexual desire, which is decrease in libido. It can include a decrease in sexual arousal, that is a decreased response during sexual activity, where a woman has a decreased ability to become sexually aroused. And this may include decreased vaginal lubrication. It may be due to decreased vaginal sensation, and sometimes can be due to a decrease in sexual orgasm. In other words, there may be difficulty achieving orgasm, or orgasms are somehow less intense, and this is something that a woman will notice that could be a change, or it may be a long-standing problem. And of course, there can also be problems with pain during intercourse that can be associated with female sexual dissatisfaction. Now, there's several different types of medical terms that are used for this. In terms of decreased libido, a term that's used is hypoactive sexual desire disorder, that is a low sexual desire. And sometimes this has been referred to as women's sexual interest desire disorder, is a more recent term that has been used by one of the bodies that has come out with a set of guidelines in consideration of this particular issue. Sexual arousal disorder is a specific medical condition for women who have trouble getting aroused. Orgasmic disorder is the medical term for women who have trouble achieving orgasm. Sexual pain disorder is something that women who have pain with intercourse, that is the medical term that is used. Associated with this can be the term female androgen insufficiency syndrome, and what this means, androgens are the male-like hormones, but as we'll discuss today, women do have some androgens, particularly testosterone. A lot of women and the general public may not specifically know this, but testosterone levels in women are about 5 to 10% the levels that there are in men. So some women who have an insufficiency or a low level of testosterone may have a decrease in libido. With that, let me introduce my guest today. Dr. Jennifer R. Berman is co-director of the Female Sexual Medicine Center at the David Geffen School of Medicine at UCLA. UCLA representing University of California at Los Angeles. Dr. Berman is co-author of the national bestseller, For Women Only, A Revolutionary Guide to Overcoming Sexual Dysfunction and Reclaiming Your Sex Life, available at Amazon.com and elsewhere. Dr. Berman is also co-host of her own television program called Berman and Berman, For Women Only, on the Discovery Health Channel, along with her sister. She is assistant professor of urology at UCLA. So with that, let me welcome Dr. Berman. Dr. Berman, welcome.
Thank you. Hello.
Glad you could join us today.
Thank you. My pleasure.
I'm sorry?
My pleasure. Good to be here.
Is it all right if I call you Jennifer?
That's fine, yes.
Okay. All right, and please call me Harvey, of course.
Okay.
Tell us, what are the symptoms of female sexual dissatisfaction and female sexual dysfunction?
Well, there can be a constellation of symptoms ranging from problems with arousal, lubrication, sensation, engorgement, warmth, tingling, to problems related to orgasm, difficulty achieving orgasm or inability to achieve orgasm, problems related to pain conditions, and problems related to libido or sexual interest, and often interest fantasies, even receptivity to being sexual. And women can experience one or a combination of all of these complaints.
And what are some of the common causes of these conditions?
Well, the causes of sexual, it depends which one we're talking about. The causes of, for instance, libido problems can range from emotional and relationship issues, obviously, to changes in hormone levels, estrogen as well as testosterone, to medications such as the antidepressant medications or some of the blood pressure lowering agents, to even surgery, in particular, ovariectomy when the ovaries are removed. So that is for libido problems, depending on what the other condition is. Arousal disorders can be related to vaginal atrophy and dryness, hormonal imbalances, pain conditions. If a woman is anticipating pain, it's very difficult for her to become aroused, much less have interest in sex, so she might have a libido or desire problem as well.
And you talk in your book about specific relationship issues that might be going on. Tell us more about that.
Yeah, well, I guess the point is that, well, from my perspective, being a doctor, is that I'm on, you know, of really emphasize that there can be real medical, physical reasons why women experience sexual problems, that it's not all in their heads. That being said, that even if the problem is physically based, there are very oftentimes emotional and relationship outgrowths to that. How the woman feels about herself, how she feels about her body, how she feels about her relationship can all be affected. And those issues need to be addressed in tandem with any medical therapy because addressing either a relationship problem or the medical etiology in isolation is not effective in helping the woman. But in terms of relationship issues or personal issues, obviously stress, issues with the marriage, issues regarding, you know, concerns about work, concerns about the children, all of these things can impact how, you know, a woman, whether a woman's interested in being sexual, able to respond sexually. It's very difficult for women to put, put those things out of our minds. Men are much more capable of doing that. Women are multitaskers, which is, you know, a gift in the workplace and at home, but also, you know, can be a curse in the bedroom because it's hard for us to put all those things out of our minds at times.
Okay. You talk in your book extensively about how blood flow, and you've alluded to this, is so very important. Tell us about some of the different conditions that will affect blood flow that will in turn affect problems, for example, with arousal and lubrication.
Well, genital blood flow, just as blood flow is essential for men to achieve erection, genital blood flow and adequate blood flow to the genital area is essential for women to become aroused. Vaginal lubrication is directly related to blood flow, and anything that impedes blood flow, be it a prior pelvic surgery or a medication that constricts blood vessels or a psychological or emotional state that impedes a woman to become, you know, to relax and become aroused, will affect blood flow and will affect engorgement and lubrication.
Right. And then, of course, you talk about in your book that, and this is certainly the case with male sexual dysfunction, that high blood pressure, high cholesterol,
diabetes, yep.
Right. And smoking cigarettes, of course, can affect blood flow, and so that's obviously an important issue as well.
Those are all some of the medical etiologies for that, what we would say vascular insufficiency or diminished blood flow to the genital area.
Right. Well, we're going to take a brief break, and when we come back, we're going to talk about some of the other effects, other causes of sexual dysfunction, how we diagnose them, and how we treat them, and specifically the role of testosterone and other hormone replacement therapy for treating female sexual dissatisfaction. Don't go away, we'll be right back.
Are you looking for an age management program that will seek out and treat diseases and conditions early on before they become bigger problems? Visit www.drbartnoff.com today for complete individualized programs geared towards longevity and health. With programs ranging from proper nutrition to safe and natural hormone therapy, there is sure to be a treatment that fits your needs. If you're a baby boomer or beyond and would like more information or an evaluation, visit www.drbartnoff.com today. Once again, that's www.drbartnoff.com. Visit and get on the track to a healthier and happier life with more vitality.
We now return to Age Management Medicine in the 21st Century. If you would like to participate in the discussion, call toll-free at 1-888-335-5204. That's 1-888-335-5204. Now back to the show. Here's Dr. Harvey S. Bartnoff.
Welcome back. Our topic today is female libido, female dysfunction related to sexual dysfunction, and my guest is Dr. Jennifer Berman, author of For Women Only, and we were talking about some of the causes of female sexual dysfunction. Jennifer, can you tell us a little bit more about some of the hormonal causes? I mean, there's so many, or a number of hormones, estrogen, progesterone, testosterone. Tell us a little bit more about how these affect female sexual functioning?
That how the hormone levels affect sexual functioning? Well, estrogen as well as testosterone are essential for libido as well as arousal and orgasm. And when hormone levels decline, as they do with aging or surgery, women do experience changes in sexual function, response, energy, mood, libido. Hormones are not only sexual, essential for sexual function, but also memory, mood, cognition, sense of well-being, bone mineral density. So there's a lot of other advantages of having adequate hormone levels. But clearly when they are diminished or declining is when women start to experience changes in sexual function.
Mm-hmm. And how are you approaching patients these days in terms of the results that came out about the Women's Health Initiative in terms of the horse estrogen and the synthetic progestin?
Well, you know, that was obviously a certain kind of hormone, Prempro, and we really can't generalize all hormonal therapies towards that, and certainly the population that was studying that in that study was unique. According to the American College of Obstetrics and Gynecologies and various other societies, the recommendations and what I recommend to my patients is that is based on acute symptoms. And if a woman is having acute menopausal symptoms, hot flashes, night sweats, sleep disruptions, mood changes, and sexual dysfunction, if hormone replacement therapy is indicated, and we try and do as low a dose as possible to achieve the maximal effect. Certainly, if a woman has a history of breast cancer herself or a significant family history, the risks as well as the benefits of any hormonal therapy needs to be taken into account. But I do prescribe hormones, you know, when it is indicated.
Mm-hmm. And so would you tend to use the bioidentical as opposed to synthetic?
Well, bioidentical just means the same estrogen that is, or the same hormone that is synthesized by your ovaries or adrenal glands. And I use bioidentical estrogen. Those are commercially available. It doesn't need to be compounded. It is, you know, Vivel and Estrace, all of those are bioidentical estradiol.
Mm-hmm. Okay, let's talk a little bit about some urinary tract problems that can be associated with sexual dissatisfaction. You alluded to this a little bit. It just seems like some of these conditions are so common, like overactive bladder, inflammation in the bladder, interstitial cystitis, losing urine, urinary incontinence. Tell us how these are related to female sexual dissatisfaction.
Well, there are other conditions that are associated with sexual function complaints in women, certainly incontinence, and whether they're directly related or indirectly related as a result of aging and menopause. As women age, they have sexual function complaints and bladder function complaints, so they occur in tandem coincidentally. Being incontinent can certainly affect a woman's desire to be sexual or ability to become aroused, so they're related, but I don't think one's necessarily causing the other. There are other conditions that can cause sexual dysfunction, as you mentioned earlier, the diabetes, the high blood pressure, which can affect nerves as well as blood flow to the genital area, spinal cord injury, and rheumatoid arthritis, and there are medical conditions that affect anything that affects nerves or blood flow can affect sexual function. So there's a whole host of medical conditions. And I guess the point is that if you are experiencing sexual function problems, you need to talk to your healthcare provider about it. It's not all in your head, as there can be real medical physical reasons, and potential therapies are in the pipeline.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Tell us a little bit about how muscles in the pelvis area are important for normal sexual functioning.
Well, the pelvic floor muscles are helped to. I won't say they're essential, but women that have control or good pelvic floor strength can have enhanced arousal and orgasm. That's not to say that you need to, you know, your pelvic floor needs to, you need to be a bodybuilder, but by definition, Kegel exercises and improving pelvic floor strength can be one way that a woman can help to improve her arousal and orgasm because by contracting the pelvic floor muscles, that enhances engorgement and blood flow and sensation in the tissue.
Mm-hmm. Okay, let's shift a little bit now to evaluation and diagnosis specifically. When you have a woman presenting to your clinic, tell us a little bit what's involved in terms of how you make a specific diagnosis, what tests are involved.
Well, we do a series of evaluations. The patients meet with our sex therapist and psychologist who rules out emotional and relationship issues that may be causing or contributing to the problem. They get a full hormonal panel of estradiol levels, testosterone levels, thyroid levels to assess, you know, for any hormonal imbalances. We are assessing here in my practice, and certainly this isn't, you know, what every doctor is doing, but we're measuring genital sensation, which is essential for arousal as well as orgasm. We are able to measure genital blood flow with ultrasound to assess, you know, the woman's blood flow, genital blood flow capacity.
Okay, and with these latter tests, is this like doing the ultrasound and genital vibration sensation, is this something that's pretty much a research basis, or is this something that...
You know, we're doing it clinically now. It's not for research purposes.
Uh-huh. Okay. And how does that information help specifically?
Well, if we document that there is a blood flow issue, then we, you know, prescribe products that are able to enhance blood flow. If she has a hormonal imbalance, obviously we address those issues. If there's a combination of psychological and relational issues, we provide and or recommend ongoing individual therapy and sex therapy. If there is a neurologic issue, you know, a lot of times we're able to provide that information and help hopefully to improve those areas also. Mm-hmm. And or refer to for further testing and evaluation.
Okay. And tell us, you allude in your book, how important is it to include the spouse or partner in the evaluation?
Well, sexual dysfunction or complaint, you know, sexual dissatisfaction, however we phrase it, is a couple's issue, and it is important to look at it in those terms. So we do incorporate the partner whenever possible into the discussions as well as the evaluation.
Mm-hmm. How long is the entire evaluation at your clinic?
Here, well, it depends. Usually we tell the patients to allow themselves at least 2.5 hours for all of the testing and then evaluations and discussion at the end once we have all the data.
Mm-hmm. And how often do you see people back in follow-up?
We see patients every day here, actually Monday through Thursday.
Uh-huh.
And they continue to follow up with us. If patients are out of state, we do phone consults with them and coordinate with their primary care doctor or gynecologist, whoever they're working with in their home state, and or they can continue to follow up with me here in the clinic.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, let's talk about some of the treatments. We've alluded to these already somewhat. Let's talk about the estrogen and how you approach using estrogen in women who have a deficiency of estrogen that you think is related to their sexual dissatisfaction.
Well, the estrogen is part of a combination of estrogen, progesterone, and testosterone. So I rarely give estrogen in isolation. And then also what estrogen is most effective at is for, you know, hot flashes, sleep, and to some degree memory. So I give estrogen in combination with testosterone, in combination with progesterone. In particular, if a woman has her uterus intact, she needs progesterone. So it's a combination of the three hormones.
And how are you generally prescribing these? Are these oral, or are they through the skin, transdermal?
Well, there's 1,001 different ways and options for prescribing estrogen. I prefer to give it in the form, through the skin, a transdermal delivery system, which tends to be absorbed better, not metabolized in the liver, and doesn't affect SHBG, or a protein in the blood that binds to testosterone, making it less available. So I prefer a delivery system through the skin. Not everybody, needs to do that or can tolerate that. Some people have allergic reactions to some of the topical therapies. Testosterone is not FDA approved for use in women, and there is no a pharmaceutical brand that you can prescribe at this time, although there are a lot in development. So the way that I prescribe testosterone is compounded from the compounding pharmacy, and that can be delivered either in the form of drops under the tongue, creams that you apply to your body, a cream that you apply to your genitals. There's a testosterone spray that can be compounded. There are even the products that now are available for men. Some physicians are using those off-label for women and adjusting the dose that they give. And in terms of progesterone, I give natural bioidentical progesterone and try to give less progesterone, as progesterone can have side effects of weight gain, lethargy, bloating, basically feeling pregnant. So I give as less progesterone as possible and for as short a time duration as possible. Now, progesterone is also beneficial because a lot of times women say they can't sleep. They have difficulty falling asleep or staying asleep, and progesterone can help with sleep. So, you kind of have to balance it for each woman's symptoms. That's the whole point, is that these hormones are individually tailored, the dose, the route of delivery, the amount, the type, to meet each woman's needs. There's not a blanket therapy that we just prescribe like used to be done with Prempro. It's not done that way or anymore. Shouldn't be done that way anymore. Mm-hmm.
And the ways that progesterone can be given in your practice?
Orally or through a cream or even a transvaginal suppository.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, we're going to take another brief break. When we come back, we're going to talk about the Eros clitoral device, and we're going to be talking about the potential role of using Viagra for women. And Dr. Berman has done some original research in this. So don't go away. We'll be right back. This is VoiceAmerica.com.
Are you looking for an age management program that will seek out and treat diseases and conditions early on, before they become bigger problems? Visit www.drbartnoff.com today for complete individualized programs geared towards longevity and health. With programs ranging from proper nutrition to safe and natural hormone therapy, there is sure to be a treatment that fits your needs. If you're a baby boomer or beyond and would like more information or an evaluation, visit www.drbartnoff.com today. Once again, that's www.drbartnoff.com. Visit and get on the track to a healthier and happier life with more vitality.
www.voiceamerica.com, America's voice.
Welcome back to Age Management Medicine in the 21st Century. Call in with questions and comments at 1-888-335-524. Now let's rejoin Dr. Harvey S. Bartnoff for another segment of Age Management Medicine in the 21st Century.
Welcome back. Our topic today is female libido, or female sexual dysfunction. My guest is Dr. Jennifer Berman, author of For Women Only, available at Amazon.com. Jennifer, tell us about how effective this Eros clitoral therapy device is. What is it and how effective is it?
Well, the Eros clitoral therapy device is basically a vibrator that has suction to it, and that is for arousal disorder, to enhance genital blood flow. It is effective in doing that, and as is a lot of different types of vibrators.
Okay. And your experience in terms of patients' response to it?
Patients generally like it.
Mm-hmm. Okay. You were involved in some research that you published regarding the use of Viagra for selected women who had problems with female dissatisfaction.
Uh-huh.
Tell us about that and what were the results?
Well, the study, the research that we did with Viagra was in menopausal women and hysterectomized women that had adequate estrogen as well as testosterone levels. And so these were replaced women. And the study found that Viagra does significantly improve arousal, sensation, and orgasm in women with arousal disorder. The issue in the women that also had low libido, Viagra was not as effective. So the point is that Viagra is an arousal-enhancing drug. It's not a libido drug. And if libido problems are present, Viagra isn't the only answer or shouldn't be the sole solution.
And so how come the FDA hasn't approved it for this in women?
Well, they haven't continued the final phases of testing. It hasn't been studies in phase 3 and phase, the final phases of the clinical trials.
I see. So it's still an ongoing issue.
It's still an ongoing issue, yeah.
Okay. All right. We have a question from Robert in La Jolla that came through by email. Robert says his wife is 43, has been on Paxil for depression for 4 months. Her moods are better, but she says she doesn't want to have sex. She wasn't all that interested in intercourse for 2 years, but her interest has gone to zero since being on this new medication. This is very frustrating for him. Any suggestions? What do you think, Jennifer?
Well, Paxil is probably one of the worst ones in terms of sexual dysfunction. That can, have arousal, libido, as well as orgasm side effects. So while she might not be feeling anxious and maybe even her hot flashes are improved, the toll that it takes on sexual function can be significant.
Mm-hmm. And so would you say she should come off of it or try a different antidepressant? What would you...
We would change the antidepressant and deal with the hormonal issues if there are any.
Uh-huh. Okay. Perhaps Wellbutrin might be a good choice.
Wellbutrin is an alternative, yeah.
Okay. We had a question from Joan. Joan is from Portland, Oregon. She's 46, says she had a hysterectomy about 6 months ago. Hysterectomy is uterus removed, and she says she doesn't have as much interest in sex as before. Is this common, and what can I do about it, she's asking.
Yeah, well, we find very often that after hysterectomy, even if the ovaries are left in place, which I don't know whether hers were or were not, women can experience sexual dysfunction or sexual side effects. So what I would say to her, what we say to all women, is that you need to talk to your healthcare provider about that.
And if she had her ovaries removed, then she might be a candidate for hormone replacement.
Yes.
Okay. And in this situation, if she had her uterus and her ovaries removed, do you think that, in your experience, that Viagra might help?
It could help, yes, in combination with hormones.
Mm-hmm. Okay. We have a question from Marie, 39 years old, from Mill Valley. Marie says, have had pain with intercourse for a month now. Doctor said I have vestibulitis, but didn't explain it very well. What is it and how should it be treated?
Vestibulitis is inflammation and irritation in the opening of the vagina that can be, caused by a variety of different things. I would recommend that she get on the website NVA, which stands for National Vulvodynia Association.org, and find out from that a specialist, somebody that specializes that in her area, because it is a complicated, difficult problem to treat, and it can be very frustrating because it's a pain condition.
Okay. Diane from Denver, Colorado, Diane is 51, says she's had low libido since menopause 3 years ago. Could this be due to vaginal douching, and what types of douching are safe?
We don't recommend douching for any of our patients because it can increase risk of urinary tract infections, vaginal infections, and uterine infections. Libido problems won't be secondary to douching. Libido problems in her are probably related to her hormone levels.
Mm-hmm. So she needs to see her doctor.
Mm-hmm.
Ed in Sacramento, it's nice to know that some men actually sent in some questions. Ed says his girlfriend has been on birth control pills for 6 months and doesn't want to have sex much anymore. She's 34 years old and is otherwise healthy. do birth control pills affect sex drive?
Birth control pills can definitely affect sex drive, as they can dramatically alter estrogen as well as testosterone levels. So the answer to that is yes.
And so what are the possibilities? Obviously coming off birth control pills, going on some other type of...
Changing the birth control pill and thinking about other forms of contraception if you are sensitive to that.
Mm-hmm. So some of the birth control pills have less of a problem in terms of increasing...
Well, they all technically can cause the problem, unfortunately. But some, maybe perhaps the Sisinal and the NuvaRing, which is a vaginal delivery system, may have less effects, negative effects.
Okay. So the oral, in other words, oral causes increase in the binding globulins and therefore causes less free testosterone.
Mm-hmm.
And you also don't get the mid-cycle surge of testosterone?
If what?
In other words, if someone is on birth control pills...
Well, you have a very low... it basically shuts off your ovaries and your brain from producing any hormones. So you have a very low level of estrogen as well as progesterone. You don't have the surge, and you don't have the high enough levels of estrogen.
Right. Okay. Norma... writes in from Tucson, Arizona. She's 32. Said she had difficulty delivering her first child 6 months ago, and the doctors had to make a cut, I guess that's an episiotomy, to make a big enough opening for the baby. Ever since, sex drive is low, and intercourse is painful.
Yeah, a lot of women can have pain in their episiotomy incision due to nerve entrapment or nerve issues, and those can be attended to. I mean, that she needs to discuss that with her doctor. The low libido can be secondary to the pain, but also postpartum, we have documented that women have a lowering of their testosterone levels. So she probably has a combined, hormonal issue. She's perimenopausal and lower testosterone levels in addition to, the pain in the area of her episiotomy.
Mm-hmm. How long does that last, the lower level after delivering a baby, the lower level?
Continued lower level, stays low.
After the first child?
After the first child, and in particular after the second child. And this isn't all women, but there is a group of women that I see in my practice, and it's not unique to my practice, that have low libido postpartum and have low testosterone levels that remain low.
I see. Okay. Nancy is 49, writes in from Diablo, California. Nancy had breast cancer diagnosed last year. She had lump surgery that removed all the cancer. Now she's taking tamoxifen, which is an anti-estrogen, and now she has no interest in sex. She went through menopause 2 years ago. Any suggestions? Also taking Tenormin for blood pressure.
Mm-hmm. Well, obviously, when there's breast cancer, we need to be very careful about hormones. There are a litany of studies now that show that women with breast cancer can take Vagifem, which is an estrogen tablet that goes in the vagina that does not get absorbed into the bloodstream but works locally just for vaginal health and lubrication. So that's one thing that she can do for the lubrication. There's also a product called Very Private that was developed by a woman that has breast cancer, and that is an excellent vaginal moisturizer, vaginal lubricant. In terms of the libido and or hot flashes or anything, this woman clearly can't take estrogen. Or if she is going to even consider it, she needs to work very closely with her oncologist. But there is data to suggest that these women can take methyl testosterone, which does not get converted to estrogen. So in low doses, she might benefit from methyl testosterone as well as the topical products that I mentioned, in addition to things like Viagra and or some of the herbal products, although be careful because they're herbs doesn't mean they're safe, and there are some herbal products that have estrogen-like effects, such as soy and licorice and black cohosh, so you need to be careful about that.
Okay. Would it matter if her biopsy were receptor positive or receptor negative for the estrogen receptors?
No, and technically not. In theory, possibly, but no. That even if she's estrogen receptor negative, that, estrogen does enhance breast glandular growth, so it's not wise to use.
Mm-hmm. Okay. We had an email from Carrie. Carrie's 43, writing in from Denver, Colorado. Carrie says, sex drive is okay, but have some pain with intercourse. Doctor said I have fibroids and has recommended surgery. Fibroids are benign muscle growths in the uterus or womb. She says, the pain is starting to decrease my interest in sex. What are fibroids, and is a surgery my only option?
For fibroids, no. Surgery is not the only option. There are other less invasive techniques, such as uterine artery embolization, which blocks the arteries that contribute to the fibroid. And there are other minimally invasive things as well. There's a procedure that involves ultrasound waves that can help to shrink fibroids. I'm not very familiar with it, but the point is that she should talk to her healthcare provider about alternatives to hysterectomy, because that doesn't necessarily need to be a first-line therapy.
And on the uterine artery, so that's where a catheter or tip is threaded into the artery and then goes through to the uterine artery, and then something is used to block off that artery right at that spot?
Yeah, so the artery that supplies the uterus, not right to the fibroid, but the uterine artery itself. It's selective uterine artery embolization. So they're trying to decrease the blood supply to the uterus overall.
And isn't it possible that that would also lead to some sexual side effects if you're having one of the main arteries to the uterus, the blood supply being blocked off, given that we've talked about blood supply being so important for normal sex?
Well, it's selective. They don't do the granted, there's a communication between the uterine arteries and the vaginal arteries, but they're not blocking off the vaginal arteries. It's the uterine arteries. Now, whether diminished uterine blood flow affects arousal, I mean, perhaps women that have uterine contractions and things along those lines, it could. But oftentimes these women are suffering from severe pain and bleeding due to their fibroids, that when they can get that under control, their sexual function oftentimes improves.
Mm-hmm. Okay. We had a question from Larry. Larry's 31 years old, writing in from Seattle, Washington. He says his girlfriend is 28, and she's embarrassed to have intercourse because she wets a lot with orgasms. She says it's not urine. What's going on, and how can he help her?
There's something called female ejaculation, which is really quite normal, and he shouldn't feel like he needs to help her. And education is really what they need. And that emission of fluid from, it's believed to be from the Skene's glands, which line the urethra, is a natural phenomena that some women experience. So I wouldn't fret over it, and it can be a pleasurable experience, and it's a natural variation.
So it's just a little bit of information and education.
Mm-hmm.
I see. Okay. Let's see. We're going to take a quick question from Anna. Anna's 76 years old, from Ventura. She says her husband takes Viagra. She wants to know if it's good for her to take it to help with orgasms. She says they have sex once every 3 to 4 weeks. She's currently taking, looks like bioidentical estrogen and progesterone, and she's also taking testosterone.
Mm-hmm. Viagra can definitely help. I would say that she certainly needs to talk to her healthcare provider. Do not take her husband's prescriptions. And if you're on nitrates, an absolute contraindication to Viagra or any of the drugs like it, or if you're on any nitroglycerin or anything related to nitroglycerin. So those would be the contraindications, but she shouldn't take anything of her husband's. But it may help, so she should talk to her doctor.
Okay. All right. Well, we're going to take a brief break, and we'll be right back, so don't go away.
Are you looking for an age management program that will seek out and treat diseases and conditions early on, before they become bigger problems? Visit www.drbartnoff.com today for complete individualized programs geared towards longevity and health. With programs ranging from proper nutrition to safe and natural hormone therapy, there is sure to be a treatment that fits your needs. If you're a baby boomer or beyond and would like more information or an evaluation, visit www.drbartnoff.com today. Once again, that's www.drbartnoff.com. Visit and get on the track to a healthier and happier life with more vitality.
This is VoiceAmerica.com, America's voice.
We now return to Age Management Medicine in the 21st century. If you would like to participate in the discussion, call toll-free at 1-888-335-5204. That's 1-888-335-5204. Now back to the show. Here's Dr. Harvey S. Bartnoff.
Welcome back to Age Management Medicine in the 21st century. We are talking today about female libido and female sexual dysfunction. My guest is Dr. Jennifer Berman, author of For Women Only, A Revolutionary Guide to Reclaiming Your Sex Life. And Dr. Berman's book is available at Amazon.com and at all major bookstores. She wrote the book with her sister, who is obviously a twin sister, Dr. Laura Berman, and they've done some very groundbreaking work in this area of female sexual dysfunction, and have published in the literature and continuing to do groundbreaking work. We had a question that came in from Stacy. Stacy is 68 from Burlingame, California, and Stacy is saying that she read that DHEA would increase female sex drive. Is this true or false? Well, DHEA is a hormone from the adrenal gland. The adrenal gland is on top of each kidney. We actually had a whole topic on DHEA a few weeks ago. And it's a very interesting hormone because it's technically an androgen. We mentioned at the very beginning that androgens are male hormones, like testosterone is a male hormone. Although DHEA is about 3% or so as strong as testosterone is. In women, DHEA will actually convert into testosterone. So this is something that women need to be aware of because DHEA is available over-the-counter in this country. Interestingly enough, not in Canada or in other Western countries like Europe. But what happens over time, starting in about the mid-20s or so, DHEA levels start to decline in many people, such that once somebody gets past 40, 50, even 60, the levels, for the most part, are significantly less than they are when people are in their 20s or in their teens. In women, DHEA will convert into active testosterone. So some women who do have low testosterone levels may get a bump in their testosterone levels if they take oral DHEA. So this is something to be aware of, although it's really better to be involved with your doctor, because if you're not monitored, your levels might get to be too high, and so this is something that you need to be aware of. Also, there have been studies to show that when women, when DHEA is purchased over the counter, that it is not always what is in the bottle. That is, it may not be the 5 or 10 milligrams that it says. It might be only a half a milligram, or it might be even a lot higher. So this is something that people need to be aware of when they're buying DHEA over the counter, that it can be a problem in that it's not what is in the bottle. This may change because the FDA is looking at possibly regulating DHEA because other countries have taken it off the market as well. After all, even though it's called a supplement, it's really a hormone. So that is something for women to be aware of. So in terms of Stacy's question, with her being 68, she didn't specifically say whether her sex drive is low or not. Certainly at age 68, she's more than likely to be in menopause. The average age of menopause is 51. With a range of about 46 to 55 or so. So at age 68, she probably is in menopause, and her testosterone levels are certainly very likely to be much lower than they were at an earlier time in her life. So if she did take DHEA, it could increase her testosterone levels and might increase her sex drive. DHEA may cause some acne and may cause some oily or greasy skin as well. Well, we've talked about a number of things today. As we've been discussing female libido, we've been discussing female sexual dysfunction, female sexual dissatisfaction. We've talked about how the fact that amongst American women, 43% have reported problems with female sexual dysfunction, and this increases for women in menopause up to 88%. Female sexual dysfunction may include a decrease in sexual desire or decrease in libido. It may include a decrease in sexual arousal, that is, not becoming aroused to sexual stimulation, as we've discussed, that may be related to low levels of vaginal lubrication, and it may be associated with decrease in sensation in the vagina itself. Some women may have painful intercourse that can cause female sexual dissatisfaction, and there are a whole host of medical problems that can cause that. And as we discussed early on, there may be difficulties with orgasm, and so this is something else that can be a part of the whole spectrum of female sexual dysfunction. Medical problems that can cause female sexual dysfunction include medications. This came up with a couple of the questions, and as we discussed, commonly the antidepressant medications, or many of the antidepressants, can cause problems with delay in orgasm or ejaculation, and even other problems, just as they can in men. Certainly blood pressure medications themselves certainly can also cause this, and there are other medications that we didn't discuss. Medical problems that you need to be aware of if there is female sexual dissatisfaction could be the sign of another primary medical problem. So you need to be screened for high blood pressure, because if you have high blood pressure, that's something that can be treated. Of course, we'd want to use a medication that itself doesn't cause female dissatisfaction in terms of sexual functioning. A woman would need to be screened for diabetes to make sure that her blood sugar is not high, because that is something that would need to be controlled and could help her sexual satisfaction if that were controlled. High cholesterol is a medical problem that we alluded to that can cause problems with female sexual dysfunction. We've talked a little bit about bladder problems. Inflammation in the bladder can cause problems leading to pain. Women who have incontinence or who lose their urine may have problems as well. And as we discussed in a major way, that declining hormones may be a significant cause of female sexual dissatisfaction, particularly the decline in estrogen that occurs abruptly related to menopause. Progesterone as well, we didn't get as much of a chance to talk about that. And also decline in testosterone, one of the male-like hormones that is definitely associated with female libido. Women who do not have enough testosterone as they had in their 20s or 30s will definitely have a decline in libido. We've talked a little bit about DHEA just a moment ago, which itself in women can often convert into testosterone. There can be emotional issues related to sexual dysfunction, whether this is anxiety, depression. Jennifer Berman talked about body image and other related problems. Relationship issues can be very important in terms of female sexual dysfunction. Conflicts that can happen in between partners, communication problems, will definitely affect interest and sexual satisfaction. So we can see that there's no single cure-all for female sexual dissatisfaction. Each woman is an individual and needs to be evaluated as an individual to see which of the problems are going on, and depending which are going on would determine what the specific therapies would be. But certainly for those women who have hormone deficiencies, there can be significant benefits when those hormones are replaced, particularly estrogen, progesterone, and testosterone. As with any medication, there can be potential side effects, so ongoing monitoring is important. and as we talked a little bit about, including the partner or the spouse in the evaluation can be very important. It would, of course, be also important to go to a physician who is knowledgeable about female sexual problems. I would like to thank Dr. Jennifer Berman, my guest today, who participated in our program and took time out of her very busy schedule to be a part of this hour discussion. Please be sure to join us next week, September 29th, when our topic will be Diets from A to Z. To see a list of future topics or to hear archives of this and previous programs, please go to my website, www.longevitymd.net, and link onto Internet Radio Program. I'd like to thank the producers, engineers, and support staff at SurfNet Media. Thank you to all the listeners and those of you who sent in questions for participating in Age Management Medicine in the 21st Century. This is your host, Dr. Harvey S. Bartnoff, wishing all of you longevity and vitality. Till next week, bye for now.
You've been listening to Age Management Medicine in the 21st Century with Dr. Harvey S. Bartnoff. Please come back next Wednesday.